Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. I'm sorry. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since our last podcast where we bitched and complained about Andrew Cogliano and how stupid player safety is. And then I took a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm back. We're back. And hopefully there won't be any more distractions. Anything else will happen. We will just simply provide our thoughts and opinions on the Golden Knights. And obviously, Ryan Reeves destroying them, being that guy that just breaks up hashtag cup in one. So we bring in Jesse Granger. Jesse Granger, how you doing, bud?
Good, man. Good to have you back.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I'm here today because obviously last night I took in the game as a fan, and it was very interesting. I've only been to two games as a fan. I went to Buffalo. My wife's from Buffalo, so I took her to that game. We took our kids. It was awesome. But that was early in the season, you know, when the Golden Knights were – we still couldn't really figure out what they were. Were they a really good team? Were they just, you know, hot at the right time? Were they catching teams by surprise? But last night, man, I'll tell you, I went to that game, and I didn't feel like the Golden Knights were going to win. People ask me around the halls here. They're like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, I don't think they're going to win. But Ottawa was awful. Yeah, well, sure, they are. They're not good, but I still don't think the Golden Knights are going to win. So that kind of messed me up going into that game. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to let loose, have a couple beers, and the Golden Knights didn't play very well.
Yeah, I actually went to the game as a fan, what was it, about 2 weeks ago? It was Chicago.
Yeah, good game to go to.
Yeah, it was. I took my girlfriend, her first ever NHL game.
How'd she like it?
She had a freaking blast. She loved it. We had good seats. I probably had to take out a second loan on my house to get these tickets, but yeah, we were very close.
Yeah,
and obviously that game was wild. The Blackhawks were winning for most of the game, and then the Golden Knights scored either three or four in the third to kind of stretch it out and win easily. But yeah, so we were going crazy. We had a great time. I got drunk. It was great. Outstanding. That was the only game that I haven't covered this year, the only home game.
But see, what's funny is you said the tickets were expensive and you had to take out a second mortgage on your house. If you got drunk at T-Mobile Arena, did you have to take out a third mortgage on your house? Because I'll tell you what, man, I was not prepared for that.
$14.
Yeah, it was crazy.
For a beer, yeah.
It was crazy.
$14 beers.
And I got to the seats and I'm drinking the beer and I'm like, this is really good, but I could have a lot more for a lot less.
Yeah.
This is unfortunate. So, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. But the experience to me was interesting. And I'll tell you why. I was sitting up in section 213. And it was the first time I've ever been recognized by somebody as Ryan the Hockey Guy. Like, it's never happened
before.
Well,
you were wearing the Rink Rats shirt.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? Shameless self-promotion. It is what it is. I'm fine with it. But it was pretty cool. Like, I was sitting. So, I'm going to set the scene. So, we get to the arena, and we're riding up the escalator to go to the 200 section. And my wife she's my biggest fan. She's always telling me that I'm really good at what I do, and most of the time I don't believe her. She's just my wife. She's going to tell me what I want to hear. But she's like, you know, one day you're just going to get recognized and things are just going to start to happen. You know, the podcast is good. People like it. We have downloads, all this stuff. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, and then I go and I talk to you guys. You're doing the pregame show. We go, we get the beers, we go to our seats. And then all of a sudden, this guy walks by me and he's like, hey, you're Ryan the Hockey Guy. And I'm like, what the hell do I say to this? Like, I don't even know what to say to this. And so, Steven.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yes, I am. You are correct, sir. I am Ryan the Hockey Guy. He didn't ask for my autograph, so that was good, clearly. But he did ask for a hashtag Suck It Granger shirt to come out.
You're lying.
I swear to God. So he says, hey, are you Ryan the Hockey Guy? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, my God, dude. What's going on with the podcast? Like, I haven't heard it in a long time. You guys do a great job. I love a Suck It Granger joke. You got to come out with a Suck It Granger shirt. And I'm like, well, which one do you want? The one with the mustache and the beard? He's like, no, it's got to be Jesse Granger's All-Star card. And I'm like, you're on to something. So I introduce him to my wife, and it's Steven Patak.
Oh, okay.
Steven Patak. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So
I don't know him. I know his Twitter handle.
Well, he knows you. So when he sees you next time at a game, he's going to say, hey, are you Jesse Granger? And you're going to be like, yes, Yes, I am.
I was at the Sinbin watch party for the what game was that?
Was it LA?
LA. Yes, yeah, in LA.
Jinxed the shutout.
Yeah, so everybody knows I like to tweet about the shutout before
it
happens.
Which is the worst thing in the world. You're a goalie.
Yeah, but superstitions are for idiots. Just like unicorns and other things that I'm not religion. It's all ridiculous.
Your bag of rocks.
It's just so ridiculous. So I like to tweet about the shutout before it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, and then people actually think that my tweets hold power over the outcomes of NHL games.
Your tweets directly drain the health of Lucas Pisa every single time.
Yeah. So anyway, so instead of tweeting about it, because I was at a watch party, good turnout, by the way, bunch of people out there for Ken and those guys.
Good.
And I grabbed the mic from Brian Blessing while he was doing a raffle drawing and personally guaranteed a shutout by Marc-Andre Fleury. Like 5 minutes later, the Kings score the goal. They were up 2-0, so it wasn't a big deal at the time, but they scored the goal. Yeah. And they started a suck it, Granger chant in the entire bar. I'm talking over 100 people, good. I would say.
Yeah.
Chanting suck it, Granger. So that's how that night went.
That's
and
fantastic.
Then the Golden Knights ended up giving 3 goals and losing in overtime. There were 3 or 4 suck it, Granger chants. That's how that night went.
I don't know, man. Like, for me, it's a big deal to get recognized. For you, that's just a normal day. Like, I don't have chance for me. There's no suck it hockey guy. You know what I mean?
You should be grateful for that.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I should be, because people clearly love to hate you. And I feel like it's better to be loved. No, I feel like it's better to be hated or love to hate somebody than it is to love somebody.
Really?
I do.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm trending upward.
Well, the reason I bring that up is simple, because a lot of people right now love to hate Ryan Reeves.
Oh, my God.
And I know you're one of them. So before we get into this big discussion about Ryan Reeves, I want to give you, Jesse Granger, the floor to explain to us why you do not like Ryan Reeves. It could be as a person, it could be as a hockey player, it could be as a disruptor to what is going on or what is going right or what went right for the Golden Knights. You've got the floor, buddy. Go ahead.
All right. I will start this by saying I don't dislike Ryan Reeves. He's awesome. He seems like a really cool guy. The first day he was in the locker room, he fired off like 17 F-bombs within the first 3 minutes I'm talking to him. I'm like, I like this guy.
Radio doesn't like him.
My kind of guy.
Exactly.
So I like Ryan Reeves. Seems like an awesome dude. He's constantly chirping everyone in the locker room. You see him in practice. I think he seems like a good guy. He just unfortunately isn't good at hockey. And when you're a player in the NHL, that's like the most important requirement a really cool guy.
That you can play hockey?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Now, there are teams where a Ryan Reeves, doesn't even have to be him, just those type of players, enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't belong in the NHL anymore. But there are teams where I could see them kind of fitting in. St. Louis is a perfect example, where mm-hmm. he spent the first 10 years of his career, seven years of his career. Pittsburgh, he didn't fit because Pittsburgh plays hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And only hockey. St. Louis and L.A. and Anaheim play hockey, and they also like to hurt people.
Right.
The Golden Knights don't hurt people. They like to play hockey. They play fast. Tomas Tatar, perfect example.
Sure.
Another guy that gets brought in, has no chemistry with anyone, but he has the right game. He has the right mindset. Someone asked him, what's the biggest difference between the system in Detroit and the system here? He's like, they play hockey fast here. That's how it's supposed to be played. I love it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. You're going to fit in perfect. Ryan Reeves goes out there looking to just lay hits on people.
But he didn't do that last night.
No, last night he was better. Last mm-hmm. night he was better. He didn't do anything good. But
there were a couple of plays where I feel like he was a little bit more noticeable doing the right things. There was a play where Braden McNabb came in off the blue line. Ryan Reeves created a little bit of havoc in front, kind of peeled away from the net. And if Braden McNabb's pass connects with Ryan Reeves, he has a wide open net. It didn't happen.
Brady McNabb threw a perfect pass, and Reeves didn't have his stick down because he has hands of stone. If his stick looks like it's going to explode in his hands at all times.
He has more goals this year than Brendan Leipzig.
That's true.
And William Carrier.
And Brendan Leipzig just got traded to Vancouver for a prospect.
I mean, I get it, but there's no one that's coming out of the lineup right now to put Ryan Reeves in.
Well,
they're not healthy.
That's my point. I mean, I'm not saying you bench him because there's no one to bench him for because they're all injured. But once Bellemare and Neal come back, there's no way that guy can be in the lineup.
Well,
there's no way.
See, I've had a wait and see look with this trade, and there's really one reason that I do that. I know what LA brings to the table in the playoffs. I know what San Jose brings to the table in the playoffs. I know what Anaheim brings to the table in the playoffs. If you have a problem with the Ryan Reeves hit on Derek Forbort, if you think that that was a legitimate boarding call, you're going to really be upset when the Kings or the Ducks or the Sharks or the Flames start laying those hits on the Golden Knights. And the only thing that I'm going to say about it is this. The Golden Knights, to me, are a half step slower than they've been all season long. That doesn't have anything to do with Ryan Reeves. I think they're tired. I think they're tired, and I think that they are missing, obviously, key components.
I think James Neal is the biggest thing.
James Neal is a big, big deal because it solidifies.
He's a real deal.
He is the real deal. But, you're absolutely right. You didn't bring Tomas Tatar in this season to play on the second line. You didn't bring him in to do that. You brought him in here to make the third line better. He is a better option than Brendan Leipzig. He is a better option to play wing on that third line with Alex Tuch and Cody Eakin. He just simply is.
Well, he's a top six forward.
He is a top six forward.
You put him on that third line with Tuch and then either Eakin or Carpenter in the middle of him, and that's one of, if not the most talented third lines in the entire NHL.
I absolutely agree, and that's where he fits this year. Now, next year, with uncertainty over James Neal, with uncertainty over David Perron, you have a second line caliber player under contract for the next 3 years. It is a great move going forward. It is a good move to great move now if you're healthy because he solidifies that third line, like you were talking about. And then once the fourth line gets healthy and you can put Noshik and you can put Carrier and you can put Belmar on the ice, you've got four fantastic lines. And then you have the option, and I do believe it will be an option when everyone's healthy, when all things are equal. I don't think Ryan Reeves draws into this lineup too often. I really don't.
I don't think he draws into it at all.
I think if you play Los Angeles and you sit Ryan Reeves in game one and Kyle Clifford goes out there and he tries to do everything that he can in his power to hurt somebody, which we've seen him do already, Oscar Lindberg, you will see Ryan Reeves for a game, for an answer. You can live with that.
No, I can't.
You can, though.
No. Answer by scoring on them.
But listen.
I think just Ryan Reeves being on the active roster makes it more likely that the other team is going to try to hurt someone. I think he actually brings the opposite effect. I think the team sees him talking because he's constantly running his mouth. And that's a lot of players. David Perron is another, and I love David Perron.
Right.
He constantly runs his mouth. Like, the second the whistle blows until the next faceoff, he never shuts up. He's constantly just trash talking to the team. And Reeves does the same thing. The only difference is that when Perron's talking, it's more like annoying, like this guy will never shut up. When Reeves talks, it's like this guy's going to fight one of us. And I think it makes the other team more physical. I think Ryan Reeves being on the ice draws the other team into those big hits. Then Reeves has to answer with a huge illegal hit of his own. Then the Kings start going after all the other players. Then you got guys like William Karlsson fighting after the play.
William Karlsson was protecting his goalie. You aren't okay with that?
Who did he push down?
He pushed down Kopitar. You don't think that sends a little bit of a message?
Kopitar was not doing anything to Marc-Andre Fleury. He was just standing there.
It doesn't matter.
He didn't even see Karlsson coming up when he pushed him down. So my point is, it escalates. It's not just Ryan Reeves being a goon. He affects the rest of the team. And now they're doing... I don't want the Golden Knights to... When someone takes a cheap shot on James Neal, I don't want Ryan Reeves to go out there and beat the shit out of the guy. I want Eric Halla to score a goal to get back at them for that. That's how this team got to first place in the NHL.
But here's the only thing that concerns me. I don't think the Golden Knights can play their pace with the way the schedule is right now. Playing every other game, it's a physical brand of hockey. Not in the traditional sense, but having to be lightning quick and relentless for 60 minutes. And that's how you force turnovers. That's how you force teams into bad spots. I don't think they can keep up with a compressed schedule. They haven't been the Golden Knights from the beginning of the season, where they had 2 and 3 days off between games. They haven't been the same team since they got back from the bye week. They just simply haven't. Now, I know they've been dealing with injuries. I get that.
I think the injuries are a bigger deal than them being tired.
I do think that too, but I also think that you look at the way that they have played through the first 62, 63 games of the season. It's impossible. It is impossible to be that disciplined, that good, that bought into a system that is that taxing and that tiring all year long. Slumps are going to happen.
Yeah, and that's what I think this is, but I think they can turn it back on for the playoffs if everybody gets healthy. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're missing, like if they were just missing Belmar, sure, that would suck, but yeah, not that big a deal. If they were just missing James Neal, mm-hmm, wouldn't be that bad. They're missing James Neal, the best pure scorer on the team. Belmar, who's probably the best defensive forward on the team, the best penalty killer, mm-hmm, on the team, yeah, does so much for them. They're also missing, for a long stretch, Shea Theodore, who's the most dynamic defenseman on the team.
Yeah.
He finally comes back and outgoes Nate Schmidt, who's the best shutdown defenseman on the team. They are missing huge pieces.
And that was such a tough spot for Theodore to come back into last night, because Schmidt's gone and Spezza's gone, though Spezza hasn't been great the last little while.
Well, and he's been on like IR like four times.
I mean, to me, Derek Engen looks tired. I think he could use a couple of days rest. I really do. I think you sit him for a couple of games here and there because you need to rest him. Not necessarily because you don't think he can get back to how he was playing earlier. You just need to give him a little bit of extra time. The only thing that concerns me, and we noticed it in the Kings game, you noticed it in those two Kings games, the Golden Knights weren't as fast as they were at the beginning of the year, and the Kings were able to wear them down. The Kings were able to get into their head. There was a lot of pushing and a lot of shoving. And yes, Reeves has an impact on that, but so does being frustrated. So does being frustrated losing to a team you think you're better than. And I think that crept in. I simply do.
But my whole argument with the Ryan Reeves thing is, if the Golden Knights are going to win the Stanley Cup this year, if they're going to make a deep run, mm-hmm, in the playoffs,
right,
it's not by Ryan Reeves coming in and making statements and getting back at guys. It's by playing the way they did at the beginning of the year, which is the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Knights, and everyone says, well, we need a guy like Ryan. No, you can't play that game because the Kings are significantly better at it. And so are the Ducks, and so are the Sharks, and so are the Blues, and so are the Jets. All these teams in the West are going to win that battle with the Golden Knights. The battle that the Golden Knights can win is, we're going to outskate you.
Right. Which plays into my belief that when everyone's healthy, all things being equal, Ryan Reeves isn't going to draw into the lineup very often, if much at all. I really don't. And you didn't really give up that much for him.
No, well, they gave up nothing for him. And they got a fourth-round pick out of it.
Right, so if you sit him, no big deal.
Yeah, I said that from the beginning. He could never play. He could never touch the ice. And the Golden Knights still win that trade.
Exactly. But see, I was listening to the Sin Bin podcast, and they obviously did a long podcast. They always do long podcasts. If you want long form, go give them a listen. But
they write in novel form.
Ken made the argument that about the locker room, and that's something that I wanted to talk to you about, because you said Ryan Reeves the person was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and I haven't had a one-on-one conversation with him yet. I will soon, but I haven't yet. And Ken's argument was this: the Golden Knights locker room was as good as any locker room could be in the history of ever.
I wouldn't disagree.
I don't necessarily disagree with that either. I think it's been a fantastic locker room. I haven't been in the locker room that much since the Ryan Reeves trade. His argument is, you bring in Ryan Reeves, a guy that by all accounts has been beloved by his teammates because of the job that he does out there on the ice. Now, it makes sense on teams like St. Louis. Maybe it didn't fit in Pittsburgh. Maybe it doesn't fit with Golden Knights. But his argument is, he's going to disrupt the locker room. There's no possible way that locker room could be the same with Ryan Reeves there. I don't know that that's the case.
I completely disagree. The only way I could see that happening is if a guy like David Perron or a guy like Marchessault, one of the leaders in the locker room, were to confront him about, you need to stop taking penalties, which, and like, if he continued playing the way he did the Kings game in at T-Mobile, where he single-handedly destroyed any chance at a comeback. In that game, Ryan Reeves single-handedly, by himself, decimated any opportunity to come back in that game. Because when you're down two goals, you can come back. The Golden Knights did it last night.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you can't take those penalties.
But you can't do it shorthanded because this guy has anger problems and just wants to hurt people. I don't care if the hit was legal. He was trying to hurt him. He wasn't playing hockey. He wasn't trying to get the puck. He wasn't trying to score a goal. He wasn't trying to make a pass. He was trying to injure that man. That's all he was trying to do.
I disagree.
He started at center ice, skated as fast as he could, 100 feet, and then hit him as hard as he could into the boards.
That's a body check. It's a check.
A body check. The dude had 100-foot head start.
Oh, come on. He was chasing down the puck. If he makes a play on the puck, he was trying to do that. It wasn't a heat-seeking missile. The puck was right there with forward. It was right there. He had touched the puck, and it was shoulder to shoulder. He turned forward into the boards. It was a regular run-of-the-mill hit.
No, it absolutely was
not. It absolutely was.
I saw him at the blue line charging up speed. You knew just it. Looking
I know.
At him.
I'm
like, here
did
it comes. Everyone in the entire arena is like, and he's still 100 feet away from him, but here it comes. He's about to try to put him into the fourth row of the T-Mobile. Yes.
Stop. The puck was way closer than you're giving than you're letting on. It was right
there. No. The puck was there. But I'm saying is,
you're allowed to hit people in hockey.
I'm not a fan of that play. I'd like hits, and there are times when you need to hit somebody. That play was just... Anyways.
But that's going to be every play in the playoffs. Every single puck. Every single time. Players are going to go back. They're going to get hit. And they're going to get hit like that. You mean to tell me, honest to God, that when Braden McNabb is lining somebody up for an open ice hit, there isn't a little bit in him that says, I kind of want this to hurt the guy?
McNabb hits people with it. It's just not the same. When he hits somebody, he looks like he's making a hockey play.
That was a hockey play.
I disagree.
You're hitting a guy to separate him from the puck.
Like I said, and the thing is, like, the actual hit, if you look at, like, the rule book and the legality, it's very close.
Well,
I can see why people would argue that it's legal. I don't want my player doing it even if it's legal. Don't do that. Play hockey.
But the thing with that play in particular is Forbort's going to go back, and his next play, he's going to be wondering when he's going to get hit again. He's going to start thinking about getting hit, and he's going to start making mistakes.
And he's going to start hitting Golden Knights players.
The Kings are going to do that anyway.
They're going to start doing more dirty hits. And the Golden Knights cannot win that game.
But the Kings are going to do that anyway. They're going to do it regardless.
Regardless of if
Ryan Reeves is in the lineup. The Kings are going out there, and Kyle Clifford is pretending not to see Oscar Lindbergh and giving him an elbow to the head. That's the Kings. That's how they play the game. They are an on-the-edge team.
I think it's magnified when Ryan Reeves is out there.
I disagree. I think that there's a certain aspect of players that are going to see Ryan Reeves on the ice, and they're going to try to get under his skin and make him do stupid things. And we saw that happen against LA. LA's a veteran team. They're a smart team. They knew how to play against Ryan Reeves. They knew how to play into him. Ottawa didn't. Ottawa didn't play him great.
Well, Ottawa doesn't give a crap because they're 500 games behind.
Oh, really quick, just a tangent, right? So I'm sitting up in the stands, and there were two Ottawa fans, like two rows in front of me. And one guy was like a steampunk, and the other guy was, you know, just a normal Ottawan, an Ottawan. I don't know. What are they, Ottawans?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, good. We're going to run with it. So after Ottawa went ahead 3-2, they started doing this like really coordinated awful dance. It was very strange. I didn't really understand it. And so, like, obviously the Golden Knights fans that had a few really expensive beers in them started yelling at these guys, like, hey, shut up, get down, you stupid, we don't like you, right? And these guys, like, I'm not kidding you, they look at him like, hey, shut up. Like, don't yell at us. We would rather be losing this game. Like, we don't want to win. Like, we don't like this any more than you do, but we're going to take it because we've been miserable. And we traded for Matt Duchene, and look at where it got us. So, just as an aside, just to break up the Ryan Reeves stuff. Okay, so...
back to the locker room. That we kind of got way away.
Exactly.
From so last night, he, against Ottawa, that type of game is fine from Ryan Reeves. He's not going to win you the game. He's not going to lose you the game. It's fine. He's doing what he can. His skill set is limited. He played to his skill set well last night.
Yeah.
Games like the two games against the Kings, if those type of performances continue, I could see a David Perron, a Jonathan Marchessault confronting him and telling him, look, that's not how we play hockey in Vegas. We got to first place in the NHL playing hockey this way. Cut it out. This cannot continue. And then he's a strong personality. I could see maybe something happening, Walker. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it is either. I don't know. I look at their locker room, and they're missing... Okay, I look at the locker room, but I look at them on the ice right now, and they're missing a ton of leadership. With Belmar out.
Yeah.
With James Neal out. They're missing experience, and they're missing leadership. And it's evident in how they're playing the game. And I think the quote that I love the most that came out of last night, and you put it on your Twitter tees, we're playing like a lazy team. We are a lazy team. And part of it is accurate. Part of it is my belief that they are a tired team. And part of it is injuries. But you have to ask yourself, why are they playing lazy hockey right now?
I asked Gerard Gallant that exact question.
What do you say?
Everyone would ask, last night at the press conference, if you didn't watch it on TV, he was asked 8 different questions about things that caused them to lose the game, and his answer to all 8 of them was, no, that wasn't the reason. The reason is we got out-competed and outworked.
Yeah.
So finally, I just get the mic, and I'm like, okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
This is a team that has made it to first place in the Western Conference based, according to you, solely on outworking and outcompeting teams.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden are they not? Gerard Gallant's answer, I don't have a clue.
Weird.
Not good.
Not good at all, because you're absolutely right. They have outcompeted everybody. They have been more relentless. They have fought for every single inch of ice every single time they go out there. Even if the first 10 minutes of the game get away from them, the final 50 are relentless. And that's been their calling card. And it's unsettling that the coach doesn't understand why that stopped.
Or maybe he does know and he just doesn't want to tell me.
But like, they haven't been right since the bye week. I contend that they have not been the same hockey club since the bye week.
I agree.
But why? Like, why now? Why, as soon as this schedule gets compressed, as soon as they start missing extra days of rest, why are they not competing as hard?
Maybe they're a little tired. Maybe the injuries are catching up. And maybe, like you said, it's 82 games. Mm-hmm. You can't play like that for 82 games. Maybe, and this is, I'm not saying they're consciously, I don't think the players are consciously saying, all right, guys,
we
got 20 games until the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Let's play like 80% speed for like 10 of them, and so that we can get our like second win for them. I don't think they're consciously doing that. I think it's just human nature to, when you're up 12 points in the Pacific Division and the Senators are rolling into town, it's just hard to, even though I know these guys are professionals, I know they're getting paid millions, and people always want to say, oh, they're getting paid millions of dollars. I don't want to hear it. It's just human nature. They are humans.
Everybody in their lives goes into their job and one day or another doesn't give 110%. Every single person.
Yes.
It's no different. But
except for me.
You know, except for Jesse Granger. Hashtag suck at Granger.
Subscribe to Las Vegas Sun.
Stop bragging. paywall. my concern is, and we've seen this with teams before, when you're up and you're better throughout the majority of the regular season, and then you start playing teams that are fighting for their playoff lives for the final month and a half of the season, they get into a second gear. We saw it with the Kings. We saw it the last time they played the Ducks. You're seeing it now with San Jose and bringing in Evander Kane, and that sparked them, and they look like a different team.
Oh, my goodness. Good by God. The way, that line with Kane on it, I think, what is it, 8 goals in two games.
It's stupid. It's dumb. And he's the absolute perfect player for that team and that line and that situation. But
they got him for cheap.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if McPhee was out for toughness and somebody that can chip in offensively, was Kane even an option?
Yeah.
Was it even entertained?
You want to talk about Ken's locker room talk. With Kane, that's a...
I completely agree with you.
That's an explosive situation.
I think he's more disruptive than a guy like Ryan Reeves, but you look at what Tatar brings and you look at what Reeves brings, and it could be one symbiotic person that could do that and fill both roles at one time.
I still am of the belief I don't think McPhee got Reeves for toughness. I think that's what he tells us because he doesn't want to tell us.
Well, he's not.
Yeah, we got this guy, but we're going to bench him every game because he's terrible and doesn't fit. Yeah.
And the only reason he's playing is because we're not healthy.
Yeah. I think McPhee saw that as a chance. Hey, we can be the middleman for the Senators and Penguins.
Yeah.
I can get a fourth-round pick for free. All we're giving up is a prospect that we didn't want.
Yeah.
We got him in the Tobias Lindbergh in the Calvin Pickard deal.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not like this is like one of McPhee's guys.
He's
just giving him away, and it's basically Bill Foley's cash.
No, I completely agree.
I think he was just an opportunity to get a fourth round pick. I don't think he thought this team needed Reeves. I could be wrong.
I think it, and again, we don't know yet because we haven't seen the Golden Knights healthy with Ryan Reeves a part of this team.
They have yet to healthy scratch a forward with Ryan Reeves on the roster because they've only had 12.
Exactly.
The first time there's 13 forwards
and
they scratch someone other than Ryan Reeves, that's when I will start to worry.
Sure. And I think the problem is a lot of media in this town are already worried without seeing that happen. And my initial reaction with Ryan Reeves was, okay, he's probably not going to play very much.
Yeah.
If at all. That was my initial reaction. He's playing now because he has to. But I don't think when everyone's healthy, he's going to draw into the lineup. But, we were on something, and I completely don't remember what it was.
Yeah, the whole Evander Kane thing.
Evander Kane. But you look at those teams, and you look at them and what they're doing now. Last month and a half of the season, Kings, Ducks, San Jose. Are you afraid that the Golden Knights can't find another gear, can't turn it on when there are teams that are already riding that momentum into the playoffs?
Absolutely.
As much as people don't want to talk about intangibles, as much as people don't want to talk about playoff hockey being different than regular season hockey, it is a different animal. The pressure is amped up. Now they have something to play for. Like, the Golden Knights' entire season has been, no one expected this. Let's just ride that.
Uh-huh.
And now you're three quarters of the way through the year with the best or one of the best records in the NHL, a chance to legitimately contend for the President's Trophy. It's not, let's let it ride. It's, you need to win a playoff series.
Yeah, and I think historically, teams that have limped into the playoffs have gotten annihilated by teams that were fighting till the end to get in. The perfect example of last year, the Chicago Blackhawks had it wrapped up, similar to the Golden Knights. Had it pretty much, I mean, they've had this Pacific Division. I mean, they could collapse and lose the Pacific Division, but it would be, I mean, they're up still 8 points even after losing three in a row.
Right.
And the Sharks are on fire. They're still up 8 points, which is by far the biggest lead of any division leader. But if the Golden Knights limp into the playoffs and you catch a team like, who is the second wild card right now? Is it St. Louis?
Yeah.
The top wild card. But anyways.
I don't think it'll end up being St. Louis. It'll probably be maybe Minnesota?
If the Golden Knights win the Pacific Division but don't finish ahead of Nashville, they'll get the 2 seed, which would mean they'd play the top wild card. Mm-hmm. Anyways, one of those teams, it's going to be a team from the Central.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a team that had to win, more than likely, their last game of the season. It was a playoff game.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you should be scared if you're a Golden Knights fan of that happening.
Well, so a team that I want to highlight is 2 years, it's 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I don't remember. It was the Los Angeles Kings. It was, they had missed the playoffs after 2014, after winning the Stanley Cup. They missed 2015. They get back in 2016. And the Kings had a stranglehold on the Pacific Division. They clinched a playoff spot with like 3 weeks left to go in the season. And then just was like, ah, well, you know what? We know how to turn it on in the playoffs. We're going to take this off, get a little extra rest, not play our game. And not only do they limp into the playoffs, they fall to second in the Pacific Division. The Ducks win the division, and then the Kings play the Sharks, and they get annihilated. I think the Golden Knights are in danger of doing that. I think they're in danger, legitimately in danger. If they can't figure out a way to play their game, they are in danger of that type of fall.
I agree. But I will say, I think when James Neal and Belmar and Schmidt get back in the lineup, I think this team looks completely different. And I think they might not be quite as dominant as they were early in the year, but I think they will get back to that. And once the playoffs get here, like I said, barring a major collapse, they have T-Mobile, which they haven't played well at T-Mobile the last few games. But when the playoffs get here, like you said, it's a different thing.
Yeah,
that home ice advantage is going to be nuts in that building.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one thing that I wanted to chat about was we talked a little bit about Tomáš Tatar, and I think that was the move that George McPhee made to try to make this team better to win the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
But it was also a deal that may have never happened if George McPhee landed Erik Karlsson. And off of a 3-assist night where he was perhaps one of the, if not the best player on the ice, Mark Stone kind of took it from me.
He was great.
Phenomenal.
Yes, he was.
What could have been if McPhee was able to land Erik Karlsson? And let's be real. We saw what was given up for Tomáš Tatar. What would McPhee have offered for Erik Karlsson?
Well, and you pitched a trade offer like that you thought would, and that seemed legit.
Yeah. So my proposed trade offer would have been the 3 picks that went for Tatar, maybe an additional first round pick. So 2 firsts, a second, and a third. Shea Theodore, and one of Cody Glass or Nick Suzuki.
And obviously all of that, those are all valuable pieces.
Ridiculous.
Cody Glass could end up being the best player on this team in 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the hang up for McPhee on that deal is Shea Theodore. I think, and he, when I talked to him one-on-one, he made it extremely clear that he did not want to take any of the pieces off this team. That's why when everyone, I asked him, I'm like, man, was it hard to give up 3 draft picks for Tatar? He said, no, I just didn't want to give up any pieces on this team. And I think he thought that would go a long way to helping the locker room stay, because he knows that that locker room chemistry is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he thought, we can bring guys in and it'll be fine. Where we could go wrong is if I ship a guy out that has helped this team get to this point,
right?
They're going to look around at each other like, wow, like Shea has been a huge part of what we're doing here, and he just shipped him out for this guy.
Our most dynamic.
For Erik Karlsson. And yeah, Erik Karlsson's great, but they're sitting here and they're like, man, like, or say they traded 2 firsts, Alex Tuch and Shea Theodore.
Right.
You're sitting here and you're like, man, you bring in this hot shot who has had nothing to do with what has gotten us here.
Yeah.
You got rid of 2 guys that they're all friends with, that they have worked hard with all season, practiced with. They went to summer camp, all that together. I just think McPhee wanted no part of trading players currently in the lineup.
So if that was the case and Shea Theodore's off that potential trade, then you're looking at probably Erik Brännström.
Yeah. And to me, the Tatar, I think he gave up too much for Tatar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's close enough to where if they make a run in the playoffs, you can say it's worth it. Yeah, if you give up 2 first-round picks, Cody Glass and Erik Brännström for Karlsson, then that's like you're selling your future.
Well, I mean,
you're mortgaging your future.
2/3 of it, at least, you know. And I mean, realistically, it could have been any number of the drafts from last draft. It could have been Suzuki, Glass, and Brännström. It could have been essentially 3 first round draft picks plus 2 additional future picks in the first round.
I mean, there were six pieces involved.
Yeah, and you know me. I've been on, because remember early in the season when it was just I was on the
trade. You were all about it.
And I think it would have helped this team this year, absolutely, because he's one of the best defensemen in the league. But you can't give up that much.
The next 10 years of your franchise.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And but see, here's the problem that...
Especially when they're going to get him for free in 2 years.
Which is fine. But here's what I want to talk about with that. Do not go out and get him next year. Don't do it. Because the way that I look at Erik Karlsson is, if you're going to make a trade for him, give yourself two cracks at the Stanley Cup. Don't do it for one.
I agree.
Like, if you're going to overpay for him, and you know you have to overpay for him, because while he's a fantastic defenseman, while he's probably one of the best, if not the best defenseman in the NHL, no matter what you end up giving up, especially if you're talking about six pieces, at least two of them are going to end up being NHL caliber players. Maybe three, especially if you're talking about Glass, Suzuki, Brännström. If you're talking about that combination in and of itself. So long term, you're going to lose that deal, especially if you don't re-sign him. Especially if you don't re-sign him at a cap-friendly hit so that you can build and put pieces around him because you gave up so much in acquiring him. So you're going to overpay. I understand that's a ridiculous thing to say about Erik Karlsson because he's so much better at his position than everybody else, but it is still an overpayment. If you're going to overpay for him, you better do it and give yourself two chances to win now as opposed to one next year. If you think you can re-sign him or you think you can sign him in free agency, don't even entertain a trade. Don't even kick the tires on him next year. But I'm afraid that if the Golden Knights do something or they're eliminated in the second round or they get to where they want to go, maybe they re-sign James Neal and David Perron, or they re-sign Perron and let Neal walk and move Tatar up, I still have this weird feeling that George McPhee really, really wants Erik Karlsson, and I feel like he's going to try really hard again either at the draft or next year at the trade deadline to do it. And to me, that's just a wasted opportunity. It's a wasted opportunity not having him here now for this run.
I think as he gets closer to free agency, his price goes down, though, right? I mean, next year at the trade deadline, he's not worth anywhere near as much as he is this year, because
that's fair.
Right now, the Senators can say, no, we don't have to. Like, we don't have to trade him. Like, we still have him next year. This team was one game away from the Stanley Cup.
Right.
We have a whole nother year with him to not only to try to win, but to negotiate with him and maybe work out along. Now, fast forward to next year's trade deadline. You've got a couple months before he is free. You can have him for nothing. At that point, it isn't six pieces. It's, I'll give you a first round pick and a prospect.
Which is absolutely correct. You're spot on with that. And this is the last point that I wanted to make on Erik Karlsson. If you are a fan of the Ottawa Senators, and you believe Pierre Dorion said there wasn't a franchise-altering deal on the table, you're blind. You are absolutely blind to what this guy is doing to your franchise. Period. It was there. And now you're likely not to get anything.
Yeah.
At least nothing even close to what McPhee was offering.
Yeah. And I think McPhee played that whole situation really well. I think there's no harm in talking to see. I think they said McPhee was the most aggressive. He stayed in the trade talks the longest. I think McPhee was like, hey, if I can get this guy to help us for the run. And then in the end, he just that's too much.
Now,
and that's not easy to do. There are some GMs that once they've gone that far, they can't go back. Once they've gone that far and the team's like, okay, well, those six first-round picks aren't enough. It's like, well, then screw it. Here's a seventh. Like, I have to get this guy. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's like if you go to the store and you want to buy a stereo and you're thinking about buying a $500 stereo. You get there and then the guy's like, oh, look how great it is. It's $700.
Yeah.
Oh, but this one over here has got all these extra features. It's $900. If you would have thought it's your house, I'm never going to spend $900. But once you get in there, it's you just like,
You no, start talking,
I
mean,
I did it
talking
with the couch.
Yourself into it.
I did it with the couch. Yeah. I went to Walker Furniture expecting to buy a $500 couch. I walked out of there with an $1,800 sectional with two recliners and like cup holders. Like,
stop bragging. Hashtag suck at Granger.
No, I'm still paying that off, by the way. I'm still paying that off, by the way. But the point is, it's for what McPhee did is impressive, I think.
I agree.
To get that far in trade talks for a guy that's that tempting in Erik Karlsson and eventually just say, you know what, that's too pricey for me. I'm out.
Sure. And last piece on Karlsson. Was it hard for McPhee to walk away knowing, or easy for McPhee to walk away knowing that Bobby Ryan is coming back? You don't get Karlsson without taking on the salary of Bobby Ryan.
I mean, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. But do you think Bobby Ryan could fit on this team?
I don't think he's a horrible fit. He's a better fit than Ryan Reeves.
Bobby Ryan on the fourth line.
Yeah.
It might
no,
be. I don't
no,
know.
But yeah, I mean, and that was another part of it. The Senators wanted you to basically sell your franchise to them.
Well, you're selling your franchise and you're buying Erik Karlsson. Like, let's have one or the other.
Yeah.
We'll give you fair market value for Erik Karlsson. But understand, we're buying him too. Like, you can't ask for the moon and then saddle us with Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
You just can't. You have anything more to say on this?
No. And like I said, I think McPhee, everybody knows I like
George. He's your boy. He's your boy. George loves you.
But
do you know that the Golden Knights were involved in a three-way trade and George McPhee was a part of that trade and acquired Ryan Reeves?
Yeah.
But
I think another part of it is McPhee clearly had that Tatar deal agreed upon while all the Erik Karlsson stuff was going. And he had to have come to an agreement with Detroit's GM saying, look, I'm going to try to get Erik Karlsson. If I don't, then I'll trade for Tatar. Because you're not going to trade for both. Because those picks that went for Tatar were involved in the Karlsson trade.
Completely agree.
So he had a fallback. Because we're talking 5 minutes before the deadline. He finally broke off trade deals with Karlsson, but had a backup plan, an outstanding backup plan, to still improve his team at the deadline. I think he did a really good job.
No, I do too. And the best part about it is I think his insurance plan was the first round pick. I think you make that trade for Tatar earlier in the day, it's a second and a third.
Yeah.
You know,
well, or a first and a second, or a first and a third.
I think it's two picks. I don't think it's three, essentially. And so, you know, if you look at it right now, did he overpay a little bit for Tatar? Probably. But if you look at it over the course of the next 3.5 years, I think he's fine. I think it'll be just fine.
Yeah, and I think his answer to do you think he overpaid was legit. And he said when we acquired all these extra draft picks, because, I mean, they got a ton of them in the expansion draft. When he said when we got all these picks, we didn't expect to pick all of these players. That's too many players. Like,
I agree.
We expected to package some and acquire players that way, and this is an example of how to do that. He probably paid a little more than he should have, but if he likes the guy, he's a good fit, it's the right time, I don't have any qualms with the move.
I agree. Last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here, because I think we've kind of really gotten to the meat of the Reeves thing, right? You don't have anything more on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. What in the hell was the deal with the Golden Knight not having a shield against L.A.?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, so hooded, cloaked L.A. Kings guy with the flag comes out on the ice and waves it around, and the Kings fans are losing their minds, and it's great atmosphere. And then all of a sudden, the Golden Knight comes out, and just no shield, zero shield, nothing. Just nothing in his hands. And they do their thing, and they do the skate, and then it gets to the moment of truth where flag guy is going to hit the shield and it's going to fly. And
my favorite part of the whole game.
It's the greatest thing because of the potential for the Golden Knight to fall.
What if that guy listens to this podcast?
I hope he does. It'd be great. but my favorite part is that when that is about to happen, it's literally going to happen in front of our eyes. The Golden Knight just like puffs his chest out and pulls his arms to his side like he's flexing. And the flag guy just throws the flag back, and he's like, shuddering in fear. It was the aura of the Golden Knight was really what saved the day, because apparently somebody, I'm assuming, misplaced the shield.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Did he have it though against the Senators? I wasn't.
He did.
Attention.
No, he had it. I was very clued into that. It was the first time in however many games it's been where I've actually gone to the game wanting to see the Excalibur open.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I didn't see it, because I was doing the pregame show downstairs.
Right,
so I was
right.
I was running back up to the press box when that show was going on.
Do you want to know the real reason I won't do the pregame show?
Because you want to see if he falls?
Exactly.
That's a legit reason.
Because the last time I did the pregame show, I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed it.
I did not miss it. I was there for that glorious moment.
I promised myself I'd never miss the Golden Knight falling at the beginning of the game.
When they realized he didn't have his shield, you know what they should have done? Told him to sit this one out, and they should have sent Ryan Reeves out there to fight that hooded guy.
Just pummel. And it turns out it's Kyle Clifford. Kyle Clifford pulls it off after beating up Ryan Reeves.
Now,
just like,
that is Las Vegas right there. You want a show, and you got to have like a twist ending. Yeah, I want them to send Ryan Reeves out, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to beat up this like little punk. And then all of a sudden, it's Clifford. And they just duke it out right there on the stone.
What's the suspension for that? Like, yeah, Kyle Clifford body checks.
No suspension.
No suspension.
They get bonuses on their contracts for that.
Oh, man, that'd be great. I wonder if something like that would ever happen.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, never. Oh, that's a bummer. You got anything else? You want to talk about anything? Anything that comes to mind?
I got a big hockey tournament today.
I see you're hydrating.
Yeah,
you're hydrating like crazy.
I've drank two giant bottles of Powerade. Yeah,
are you not worried
this,
about peeing while you're playing?
I have to pee really bad right now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
So you just want this thing to be over?
No, but I don't have to worry about peeing while I play because I sweat so. No, I'm like serious. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I've never, not one time have I ever been in the middle of a hockey game and had to pee.
Because you
sweat so much that you just. You don't have anything left to pee.
Is it another one of the Ironman tournaments?
It is.
It is. Wow.
This thing, man, they got more teams than usual. So it normally starts at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's starting at 2.
Ooh.
And it runs all the way until about 11:30 midnight.
When's your first game?
I don't play until like 4:30 or 5 because there's like four divisions.
Sure.
Like D, C, B, A, and I play in the later ones. But
So you're playing A or B?
I play A and B.
A and B?
Yeah, so I'll play two different Iron Man. But yeah, it should be fun.
Look at you.
Trying to get some exercise.
Hey, so does anybody know when Ken's going to get on the ice?
No, that's another thing that's happened since we've had a podcast.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Ken over at Sinbin made a bet with Matt at Hobbit311 on Twitter that if the Golden Knights got 85 points this season, Ken would have to put the skates on. The Golden Knights have more than 85 points. So
yes,
Ken, a man who does not skate, who doesn't know how to skate, who...
By the way, the Golden Knights have not earned a point since getting that 85. They haven't won a game since that 85.
It's the curse
point
of Kenny on ice. So once we know, we will let everyone else know because it'll be an event that you surely will not want to miss.
Yeah, I'll get out there with some skates. I might even put like, because I guess they want to rent out the
yeah,
and they want to have nets out there. So maybe I'll just like bring all my goalie stuff.
Do
and
it,
we'll do
yeah,
like a
do
stick
it.
And puck.
Do it because I want to get out there and I want to just snow shower the shit out of them. I swear to God, man, like it'll be great. Like especially if he falls, it'll just be a snow shower to the face.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be fun. All right, I think that's all the time that we've got. Jesse really has to pee. Ari's telling me that we got to wrap it up. So we're going to do that. Oh, by the way, Bobby Ryan has a very interesting story. It's a little bit too long for us to get into right now, his story. But if you wanted to learn about Bobby Ryan and his story off the ice, Google Bobby Ryan because it's a very interesting story that we don't have enough time to get into right now. That'll do it for Rink Rats. Jesse, where can people find you?
At JesseGranger_ on Twitter and LasVegasSun.com.
I'm Ryan the Hockey Guy. I'm at Ryan Hockey Guy on Twitter. That's really the only place that I'm active, if I'm even considered active there. Find us on iTunes. Like, subscribe. Give us 5-star rating. That really helps us out. It makes us stand out over all the other hockey podcasts that are either around or starting or whatever the case may be. We'll be back with you next Monday with another episode and hopefully better results on the ice for the Golden Knights. Thanks.